Hi, listener. I'm jumping right in. It's Monday. It's July 16th, and you're in for a real treat for the next few days because we'll have special guest Mark Loy share some of his testimony, life story, and his work at Answers in Genesis in the Creation Museum. Pastor Jason Schiffo and I, just a few days ago, called Mark up to talk about the museum and how uniquely and specifically God has revealed himself through Genesis. So let's just jump right into that conversation as Jason and I recap our own visit to the Creation Museum, and then we'll introduce Mark to you. Thank you, Mark, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends, and I have Pastor Jason Schiffo in the studio with me, and both of us have thoroughly enjoyed our visits to the Creation Museum. I went with the Millers a couple of years ago, and Jason, you were just there some months back, and you absolutely loved it, and mm-hmm. You were the catalyst to getting Mark to be interviewed today and to share some of his life. But isn't it a great museum?
Definitely. It definitely is a rich place where you can walk through, and there's a three-dimensional quality. I mean, the scriptures come alive. Oftentimes, Christian things can come off as looking like we tried our best. One of the things that blew me and my wife away, and our kids, our young kids, was that everything was of a high quality and high caliber. I mean, this was like Colossians 3, when you work at it, you work for God. And I'm like, boy, this is God honoring. So just a great time that we had there. Definitely worth the trip and the time that we spent there.
And Mark, we want to share you with our radio listening audience because you're instrumental. You're foundational and fundamental in deciding what can be presented, what is shared. And yet it's a God honoring message. It's biblical. It's exciting. I love it, too, because it's very interactive. You see movement. You see visual effects. It's great for the family. You can walk around the grounds. And so I guess I would love for you to walk us through some of your own faith journey and then how God has called you to be involved in this ministry and some of the future projects you have. So I don't know if we can break this into just one program, but I'd love to have you share some of your story just because we serve this great God and He's very personal and involved in our lives. And so what was the narrative of your story on how he came to become real?
Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jason, for the opportunity. In fact, I've been in what's called the biblical apologetics movement since the early 1970s. By the way, the word apologetics, I don't want it to scare off anyone listening to the program. Apologetics simply means defending the Christian faith. And that's what we do here at our Creation Museum, which is within, I guess, just a few-hour drive from most of your listeners. We're located near the Cincinnati Airport in Kentucky. To give you an idea, I can get to Chicago in 5 hours from here and St. Louis in six. The reason that Ken Ham and Mike Zovath and I started the Ministry of Answers in Genesis and eventually opened the Creation Museum 5 years ago is that apologetics have been very, very important in our Christian growth. As a teenager in Los Angeles back in the early 1970s, I was struggling with my new Christian faith. I'd gone forward at a Bible church in the southern part of Los Angeles. But think about it. I'm growing up in the public school systems of Los Angeles. I'm going to the science museums and watching National Geographic TV specials that are saying that evolution is true and the book of Genesis is not. And so I'm having what I would call a crisis of faith. Could I really trust the Bible? And lo and behold, a creation scientist by the name of Dr. Dwayne Gish, who became famous in the 70s and 80s for debating many of the world's best-known evolutionists, he came to our Christian high school and gave a one-hour talk on the fossil record and how the fossils actually support creation and not evolution. And that one-hour talk by Dr. Gish revolutionized my Christian faith and gave me a zeal to proclaim the authority and accuracy of the Bible to the point where for most of the last 40 years I've been involved one way or another in proclaiming biblical accuracy starting from the book of Genesis. And so I worked with Dr. Gish for a number of years at what's called the Institute for Creation Research. And then Ken Ham and I left that ministry 18 years ago with the blessing of Dr. Henry Morris, the president, to start a layman's organization called Answers in Genesis, where we wanted to equip young people, the children even, to have answers to defend their faith, starting in the book of Genesis.
I'm thinking, so you got the head knowledge back there where you thought, hey, this makes sense, I can understand. But what was the heart knowledge? Like, who helped introduce you to that concept that Jesus forgave you of your sins and kind of that redemptive work that's laid out in the scriptures?
Well, I became a Christian probably when I was about 15 or 16. I was just so bombarded by the world saying that the faith that I believe in was doubtful because the Bible was untrustworthy. So that's why when I heard Dr. Gish give that talk when I was about 17, 18 years of age, when I was starting to question my Christian faith, that's what solidified it. That's what gave me the zeal and the passion to share my faith with others. And I've seen it time and time again, Mark and Jason, the importance and effectiveness of what's called creation evangelism, using a creation evolution question as a way of, as a method of sharing our faith. Because many people won't listen to the gospel message today because they think that science has somehow shown the Bible is not reliable. And usually they zero in right on the book of Genesis, and they'll say, well, hasn't evolution proven there's no God? Hasn't evolution shown that you cannot trust the Genesis account of origins? Once we show people that the Bible is trustworthy, and we can answer questions about their concerns regarding dinosaurs or carbon dating, the so-called ape men, once we can show them that the scriptures explain these themes and that science actually confirms the book of Genesis and refutes evolution, these people are much more open to listening to the gospel message once they've gotten these solid answers.
Yeah, I found, Mark, that it seems like it's all about where our starting point is. And I think that even when you're in the museum, that's one of the, I want to say, isn't it the first or second room? Isn't it the placard that's up and you have Descartes and then you have the biblical scripture and I think, therefore, I am, or I am that I am. And I think that it boils down to our starting point. Would you agree?
Yes. You know, when it comes to the question of creation evolution, we have evidence to study. We have dinosaur bones of creatures, but all of us bring our biases and our presuppositions, our starting points, if you will, to this question. I look at a dinosaur bone, but I interpret it differently than the evolutionist, and that's because the evolutionist has a worldview that's diametrically opposed to ours. And so, it's rare when the creationists and evolutionists disagree over the evidence. The difference occurs in how we interpret that evidence. And that's why, and maybe you saw this, Jason, on your recent visit, in that starting points room where we examine that question of how our beliefs and our biases affect how we look at evidence, we have an exhibit there, a rather impressive exhibit, on Lucy. Lucy is usually used by evolutionists as Exhibit A to prove, in their worldview, that we as humans evolved from an ape-like ancestor. Well, we have the same bones to study with Lucy as the evolutionists do, but we come to a completely different interpretation. In fact, we think the interpretation made by the evolutionists is based on some faulty understanding of the evidence. They find bones of this Lucy creature in Africa, and they take the bones, and using artistic license, you can go to the Field Museum in Chicago and see a version of Lucy that's very different than the Lucy that's presented in some of the museums in the eastern part of the country. And so that's a very important teaching point that we present our visitors, that evidence doesn't speak for itself. A scientist or even a layperson has to look at that evidence like a dinosaur bone or the bones of Lucy and interpret it, and we interpret those things according to the worldview we already hold.
Yeah, I've always heard that word, those presuppositions, like we're already reading into what we want to read into it. So, hey, there's no such things as miracles, so then we write off all sorts of things because our presuppositions is miracles can't happen.
And we admit our presupposition. We believe the Bible is true, and we can interpret the world through the lens of Scripture. Sadly, the evolutionists rarely admit that they have their own biases and presuppositions, but we're very upfront about it here in the museum. The Bible is God's Word, and it makes sense of the world we study around us.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I think I listened to a talk, in fact, I did, from your website. And once again, I think it's a great website. And you guys won some awards recently, didn't you, for the website?
Well, thank you. Yes, answersingenesis.org is our main website. The Creation Museum is operated under the Answers in Genesis banner, but we were blessed earlier this year to be awarded by the National Religious Broadcasters, which is a group of 1,200 ministries like Focus on the Family, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and for the second time in about 5 years, we were picked as the best ministry website, not only because it is well-trafficked, it's one of the most visited religious websites now in the world, but it's so user-friendly. We have thousands of articles on our answersingenesis.org website that will answer a variety of questions that skeptics have about the accuracy of the Bible. And so I encourage your listeners, if they can't make the drive to the Cincinnati area to visit the Creation Museum, to get answers to help defend their faith by going to our website of answersingenesis.org.
So when I listened to that website, I listened to a talk, and I believe it was with Dr. Jason Lyle, and he said that one of the greatest mistakes we make as Christians is that we come to the argument and we're willing to have the argument by saying, well, we'll set the Bible aside. And I think that that's what you were saying there, that I think that our listeners need to understand, is that as Christians, we can never set the biblical argument aside, because that is the foundation from which we start from.
Ken Ham and I, Ken is the co-founder of Answers in Genesis in the museum. He and I attended a debate between a Christian and an atheist. And the Christian started off the debate, this live debate, by saying, I'm going to argue against this atheist and evolutionist, not using scripture, I'm just going to use human reasoning. And Ken and I kind of looked at ourselves and said, right there, he's probably going to lose the debate because he's tied one arm, perhaps even two arms behind his back, by not using God's word to challenge this atheist. And so what it ended up being was just, you know, human reason going back and forth, and ultimately, say the debate was probably a draw, or maybe even the Christian lost, because he decided not to use scripture, which is God's word. It's powerful. It's what we need to use today to convince people that their worldview is wrong. And so the scripture is our foundation for everything we do here at the Creation Museum. And ultimately, Mark and Jason, as you've toured, you've probably seen that we just don't want to convince evolutionists that their worldview is wrong and creation is right. I mean, because in terms of eternity, that doesn't accomplish anything. We want the non-Christians who come here to accept the fact that Christ is not only our creator, as Colossians chapter 1 teaches, but that Christ is our savior. So we want evolutionists who come to the museum to leave here, not just as creationists, but as Bible-believing Christians.
Yeah, we opened up the program with a reading out of Colossians, and it's one of your favorites, even though you're involved with Answers in Genesis. And again, I want to state that website, answersingenesis.org. You love the book of Colossians, and it's one of your favorite, especially passages around verses 15 through 20. Tell us a little about why you like Colossians.
Well, you know, there are many, many verses and sections of the New Testament that relate to the book of Genesis. And one of the reasons I like Colossians chapter 1 so much is that it identifies who Christ is. And if you read in particular verses 15 through 20, which I encourage your readers to do, it shares with us the fact that Christ is our creator, the creator of the universe. That, of course, correlates to the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. But Christ is also our Savior in that passage in Colossians. And on top of that, he is not only our Savior and Redeemer, but he's our Lord, that we owe him everything because he is our Creator and our Savior. You know, there are many verses, too, in the Gospels where Christ refers to the historicity of the book of Genesis. In fact, Christ, when he defends marriage, you know, marriage being one man for one woman for life, which is a hot topic in society today, where does he go in Scripture to defend man and woman marriage? And he goes right to the book of Genesis, because that's where God instituted the union of a man and a woman. And so, you know, if we say that the book of Genesis is allegory, it's myth, it's not real history, then you start undermining messages like what marriage really is. If you say there really wasn't a fall of Adam and Eve into rebellion in Genesis, then you're starting to undermine our need for a Savior, Christ, who came 2,000 years ago. And so I encourage your listeners to take the book of Genesis as written, as straightforward history. It's not myth or allegory. If you do that, you know, you've created a crumbling foundation for major doctrines like the atonement, also the sanctity of marriage, and also the sanctity of life. The book of Genesis can be used to argue against abortion, that we're all created in God's image. Many, many doctrines have their foundations in the Bible's very first book.
Hey, Mark, you've heard the reference. You're preaching to the choir. Jason and I, we're jumping up and down here. We're so excited because many of the very themes you're talking about, we've been over the air the past few weeks talking about the book of Jude, and it references so much of Genesis and those foundational things, man and women and original sin, and deals with hell and homosexuality and various topics. But we're both here cheering you on. I wish you were in the studio. We'd be giving you high five because I appreciate the clarity of your message, the clarity of the mission of Answers in Genesis, the museum there, and just the biblical foundation that the truth is conveyed in God's inspired, inerrant word, and how you just hold that banner high. So just kudos to you. And in case you're just tuning in, we have Mark Loy on the phone with us, co-founder of Answers in Genesis, co-founder with Ken Ham of this great ministry, the Creation Museum, that's just a few hours in our radio listening area, a few hours travel. We highly recommend it. And so if you've missed a portion of today's broadcast, I invite you to go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and listen to the archive programs link. Right-click on it, save it into an email, pass it on to a friend, because those of you that are maybe engineers or affiliated with the University of Illinois, and sometimes you kind of maybe waffle in, is your faith biblically grounded in the truth? Is there some ways to defend the gospel to show that these stories and the literal evidence as conveyed in the scriptures is true and valid and verifiable? Yes, it is. God's word is true. And this Creation Museum, Answers in Genesis, can be another tool for you to explain your faith to other people.
Yeah, Mark, like Mark was saying, jumping up and down because I'm in the midst of taking my church expositionally verse by verse through the book of Jude. And Jude, at least 10 times, takes you to the book of Genesis, and then beyond that, it takes you to some extra canonical material that speaks into Genesis, Enoch, Naphtali, the Assumption of Moses. But again and again, Jude defends faith from the standpoint of the first book of the Bible, from Genesis. He goes, wait, we got to go all the way back to the beginning because we forgot the beginning. We're so wrapped up in today that we've forgotten the beginning. And I would love, one of the things that my wife and I were blown away by when we came to the museum and totally taken aback by, because we didn't even expect it, was how the museum is one bit of the ministry, and we see Ken Ham out doing speaking engagements and debates and that, but that this ministry has a larger component that's based in writing curriculum.
Yeah, Answers in Genesis has many, many outreaches. The Creation Museum might be the most visible. That's because we've been blessed with 1.6 million visitors in 5 years. People are coming from all over the world. Just about every major media outlet in the world, with maybe just a handful of exceptions, have been and have been here and toured the museum. We were even mentioned in the New York Times again this past Sunday because we have what some people are calling a controversial billboard campaign. We have billboards all over the country encouraging people to come to the Creation Museum, and we have dinosaurs on these billboards, and evolutionists, many of them, are up in arms because they think the evolutionists, that the dinosaurs are the property of the evolution. And as you've come here to the museum, you've seen that we use dinosaurs with dinosaur animatronics and bones and other things. We use dinosaurs to help tell or to give our account of Earth history. But in addition to the Creation Museum, we have a future project, and we can chat about that maybe a little bit later. We're going to be building a full-size Noah's Ark. That'll be a part of the Ark Encounter Project. And then we have what was picked this year as the best website, best ministry website, answersingenesis.org. And then a few weeks ago, we found out that our Answers magazine, which is a biblical worldview magazine offering answers to young people and adults to defend the faith. That was picked as the top Christian magazine in America by the Evangelical Press Association. But up until the museum opened, probably our bread and butter, if you will, would have been our teaching seminars. We do about 300 teaching meetings around the world every year. Ken Ham next month will be speaking in England as the Olympic Games are going on. We've done seminars all over your part of Illinois and up in Chicago and in St. Louis, where we equip young people and adults to be able to defend their faith. But a larger part of our ministry now is our curriculum department. Not only do we produce a vacation Bible school program, but we are launching right now a full Sunday school curriculum called ABC, the Answers Bible Curriculum, so that Sunday school classes we'll be using this curriculum starting this fall. It's divided into 7 age groups, and so as even young children are learning about the Bible as true history from Genesis to Revelation, the adults are studying the same passages of Scripture. And so it's very integrated, very easy to follow. And so many people over the years have been telling us that the Sunday school curriculum that they'd been using from, let's say, their denomination or from another group was just kind of shallow and not giving some meat of the word. Well, we listen to those people, and we've invested over $500,000 in this Sunday school curriculum called ABC, which is launching right now.
Yeah, there's a book that you guys have called The Road to Emmaus. I believe that's the name of the book. And I purchased it. I want to say this. Interesting, when we were there, usually when I get down at a museum, and I've been to a lot of museums, me and my wife love history. We go to the Field Museum, all these different museums. And I usually run through the gift shop because I just kind of do a once-over, but I hate the gift shop. And me and my wife spent about a good hour and a half in your guys' gift shop. But it's not a gift shop. It's on par with the best Christian bookstore, in my opinion, because there's such a breadth of materials, printed pamphlets, apologetics materials to help defend the faith. We were shocked by that. But we picked up this book, The Road to Emmaus, and it has become foundational for one of our elders in rewriting our new members class in the church, because it walks through Genesis to Revelation in such a way that people can understand the person and the revelation of Jesus throughout the entire and totality of Scripture. You know, because I think some people have a narrow view and it's a gospel-centric view, and they forget that the Old Testament is all about the coming of Jesus and that the revelation is about Jesus' return again. And they get themselves kind of stuck in the gospel because in there I think it's easier to love Christ the teacher and forget about Christ the Savior. But I wanted to ask you about dinosaurs.
Ah, dinosaurs. Everyone wants to know about dinosaurs. So tune in to tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends at the same time, and you'll hear the continuation of our conversation with Mark Loy, one of the founders of the Creation Museum. Also, you may have heard my announcement that I'm seeing the interest level on taking a busload, a deluxe motor coach, to the Creation Museum in the coming month or two. And so if there's an interest level, call or email the station. Our phone number is 217-367-7777. Or email us at staff@greatnewsradio.org. If there's enough people interested, I'll coordinate all the details, get a good price, and book a deluxe motor coach. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.